You're listening to Relevant Radio, 950 AM and 930 AM. Talk radio for Catholic life. Good morning. For the next hour, the Archdiocese of Chicago will bring you programs about the people, the issues, and the faith that touch our lives. Welcome to the Catholic Community of Faith.
I send you out on a mission of love. I send you out on a mission of love. Send you out on a mission of love, and know that I am with you always until the end of the world.
Mission of Love, the monthly radio show of the Office for Evangelization and Missionary Discipleship. I am Beth White, your host for this morning's show. This morning, we're going to talk about Black History Month a little bit, but really through the eyes of the Black Catholic community here in Chicago. I want to talk about ways in which they are witnessing to Christ's love here in our Archdiocese. Our guests today are Father David Jones, who's the pastor of St. Benedict the African and director for the Black Catholic Initiative here in Chicago. And later in the show, we'll speak with Kimberly Lymore, the director of the Augustus Tolton Pastoral Ministry Program at Catholic Theological Union. But first up, we have with us Father David. Welcome.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. So I wanted to talk to you this morning, so thank you so much for being with us. You are the director of the Black Catholic Initiative here in Chicago.
That's correct.
Yeah, so could you tell us a little bit about what the Black Catholic Initiative is?
The Black Catholic Initiative essentially is the archdiocesan effort to assist African-American Catholics with a archdiocesan identity. As with most Chicagoans and most Catholics, we have very strong parochial identities. We affiliate with our parishes. This is an attempt to add to that parochial identity and archdiocesan identity. So where I may be a member of St. Benedict the African, I also understand myself as a member of this local church, the Archdiocese of Chicago. And at the parish level, I'm familiar with the 200 to 300 people who I worship with on a weekly basis. The archdiocesan vantage points allows me to understand that there are approximately 65,000 African-American Catholics in the archdiocese. So this is a different vantage point from which one can exercise and practice the faith.
And what are some active ways in which you do practice the faith together as a faith community outside of your individual parishes?
The Black Catholic Initiative is just shy of 2 years old. And in that period of time, what we've established are four platforms that we focus on: Catholic identity, Catholic education, Catholic vocations, and Catholic social action. So, for example, there's an annual event that looks at an issue that we want to look globally at, and we've elected to use the papal encyclical to look at climate change. But we look at it not necessarily only from the global perspective, but also how does that issue and how does that encyclical speak to our Catholic activities in an area where people are marginalized either because of economics or because of racism. So what are the effects of global climate change in the Inglewood neighborhood? And an annual conference allows us to explore in that way. And we also host a annual commemoration of the civil rights movement. In that regard, we're looking from a faith perspective as to how important it was that as people were trying to battle forces that were denying God-given rights, How does Catholic history help us continue that movement and protecting the dignity of all people? And there is an annual retreat just for our own spirituality. In that retreat, what makes that retreat unique, perhaps, is that we bring the gifts of the African-American community. So the style of preaching and music and praying and some of the history and the poetry believer that is distinctly African-American would be a part of that. And with education so far, we are collaborating with the Office of Catholic Schools. We, for the past 2 years, have offered a curriculum that was developed by Sister Julianne Delahanty that helps archdiocesan schools implement teaching of history by in an inclusive manner, and we're specific to ask that that the African-American history be included in those lessons. And that lesson plan focuses on the person of Jean-Baptiste Pontdesab, so a Haitian Catholic who's the founder of Chicago. So we bring in those elements. And sponsoring a essay contest on the life of Father Tolton.
Yeah, I saw that. Yes.
And also helping with the celebration that the school has when they invite their students down to the cathedral to celebrate African-American heritage. So those are some ideas and some ways in which we've fleshed this out over the last 2 years.
That's great. So tell us a little bit about the essay contest for this year. There are still students can still submit their essays, right? Is that right?
Essays are due on Palm Sunday.
Okay.
So the first thing students have to do is have a sense of literacy so that they can figure out when to turn that essay in. And they're submitted by a teacher or a staff person at their school to the Black Catholic Initiative at bci@archchicago.org. And the theme this year is, what would Father Tolton say to Catholics about the need, about practicing faith that focuses on unifying people? The student committee for the prayer service this year selected the theme of unity. They used the Kiswahili word umoja for their theme for the prayer service. So we play off of that with the theme for the essay contest to ask people to learn about the life of Father Tolton that connects us with the cause of Father Tolton as the church continues to pray for his recognition as an African-American person who would be a saint and a Chicagoan who would be recognized as a saint, and then to look at how the various issues in the world as well as in our locale teach us and how our faith says we are a voice that always seeks to be united, especially when there are divisions that marginalize us.
So what are the grades that can participate in the essay contest?
You know, we didn't limit it.
Okay.
It's available to any student in Catholic school.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't define that deliberately because we work through the Office of Catholic Schools, so we assume that we're dealing with elementary and high schools.
Mm-hmm.
And we limit the word count. I believe this year's limit, I believe the essay has to be no more than 1,000 words.
Mm-hmm.
So the persons who we will have judge the essays will based on the number of essays we receive, we have the very easy ability to duplicate the prizes. So if we receive a ton of essays from sophomores in high school and a ton of essays from fourth graders, we'll just add a prize category and there'll be two winners in the categories. But otherwise, we'll have to see what we receive as essays, and the judges have to factor in this person's essay given this person's age and experience versus another person to determine which essay we would like to honor as the award winner this year.
Oh, that's wonderful. So we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back to continue our conversation.
I send you out on a mission of love. I send you out on a mission of love. Send you out on a mission of love, and know that I am with you always until the end of the world.
Your gift to the annual Catholic Appeal helps support our Catholic schools. Your gift supports religious education, ministerial formation, and initiatives for life, peace, and justice. And your gift supports Catholic Relief Services as it offers a lifeline to people around the world whose lives are devastated by natural disasters, illnesses, and war. Cardinal Blaise Supich comments on the annual Catholic Appeal.
It's a way to bring Christ into the world. to make sure that people who so often go through life without actually feeling that someone cares about them, that we see that as part of the mission of the church. The annual Catholic Appeal allows people to participate in the work of Christ, not just the work of their parish or the work of the archdiocese. We're talking about the work of Christ.
Please visit annualcatholicappeal.com for more information. Thank you for your gift in the service of Christ.
Amate House invites you to its annual benefit dinner, Amate Magic, taking place on Saturday evening, March 25th at Chicago's Navy Pier. The event will include auctions, raffles, live music, dancing, awards, and more. Proceeds will support Amate House, the young adult volunteer program of the Archdiocese of Chicago. To purchase tickets, make a donation, or learn more, please visit www.amatehouse.org or call 773-376-2445. We'll see you on March 25th.
I send you out on a mission of love. I send you out on a mission of love. I send you out on a mission of love. And know that I am with you always until the end of the world.
Welcome back. We have with us this morning Father David Jones, who's the pastor of St. Benedict the African and director of the Black Catholic Initiative here in Chicago. We're just talking about the essay contest for this year for the Augustus Tolton, for Father Tolton essay contest. And so that takes us kind of into, I would just like to ask you a few questions about Father Tolton. We're in the midst of Black History Month, could you just remind us of, as we're thinking about those, you know, men and women who made such a strong impact on our American landscape, what is it about Father Tolton that's so significant in our history?
Well, it's very interesting when we look at the life of Father Tolton, who is recognized as the first African-American Roman Catholic priest in the United States. Now, there are historians who would delve into folks who were ordained, but they weren't recognized as African Americans as a part of the American history. As you have people who don't identify themselves racially, but Father Tolton, by I think all accounts, is the first recognized person. And as a Chicagoan, Cardinal George introduced his cause for sainthood, and primarily focused on the priesthood, not the fact that he was an African-American, but that plays into it. As his family escaped from being enslaved, there are just dynamics about his life and his trial to get to the altar of ordination, where he faced incredible odds and very vicious racism that only allowed him to be ordained in Rome. So he actually had to leave the country in order to accomplish this vocation and goal that he was called to. So in there's just lots of anecdotal and evidential pieces that make you wonder who was this man and how graced was he? And it's a tribute to not only the person, but to priesthood and to the whole of the church, that there's this moment in history where the church in Rome is in dialogue and of assistance to the church in Quibbley, Quincy, Illinois, with helping this happen. This the life of a person whose roots in this country were established from the slave trade, and whose lands to be a significant person in the Archdiocese of Chicago, ministering not only to African Americans but to people who wanted truly to be in touch with God's grace. So that's the backdrop of the dynamic life of Father Tolton that we hope will continue along its path to recognition of sainthood.
So he was he lived between 1854 and 1897, and so
I believe that's correct.
Right. Well, I'm looking on the website.
Okay.
So he escaped slavery, his family and he did, and came to Illinois. Is that right?
That would I believe it was his mother.
Okay.
Bishop Harry is the postulator for the cause and the historian of the man. So was Father Tolton enslaved? I think that it was his mother who was enslaved.
Oh, okay. Okay. And so he, as you were saying, that he could not go to seminary here in the United States, so
he was not accepted by any seminary in the U.S.
Right. So that was a incredible journey for him. So
not only for him though, it was unique. I mean, that just wouldn't have been the case for anyone. So the history of it just reaches into all different sort of dynamics of what was happening in the American church at that time.
And so then he came back to Chicago to serve the people of Chicago, right?
He was ordained for Quincy.
Oh, okay.
The Diocese of Quincy, which is now a part of the Diocese of Springfield, and was very successful there, perhaps even a little too successful.
Oh.
There are lots of stories about jealousy amongst the presbyterate because Father Tolton was... The attempt of the leadership, the hierarchy, was to kind of marginalize him and make him the priest for the black people. But the stories that are told in the history will record that he was an effective minister and pastor, and so people of various races would start to attend his mass. Well, that must have been cutting into somebody else's collection, so he'd rather run out of Quincy. So this issue of race followed him for his entire life, inclusive of his priesthood. And then he arrives in Chicago and once again is relegated to be of assistance to the black people who are Catholic. And so it just ties into that very real American history where we actively segregated people according to race, including for worship. Father Tolton is credited with being a part of what was the first African-American parish, St. Monica's, which gives birth to the modern-day St. Elizabeth Parish at 41st in Michigan. And his story touches into the lives of the Sisters of Mercy, the Franciscan Friars. There are lots of other pieces of Catholic history intertwined into the life of Father Tolton, as well as... St. Catherine Drexel, he's in touch with, so there's quite a bit of Catholic history.
Yes.
When you look at his life.
I was reading about her that she gave a significant amount of money for the building of that, of St. Monica's, that he was fundraising well, so that's interesting.
Which touches into all of her life work and her family's
right.
work and her family's money. Mostly known, I think, in New Orleans and Philadelphia, perhaps.
Yeah.
But again, the life of Father Tolton touches us into a really dynamic period in the American church and what was happening based on race relations and what was not happening based on race relations.
You're not a historian, Father David, but I just...
I am not.
But I just... The significance of the fact of building a black Catholic church would have been the fact that many of the... blacks were segregated in the churches themselves. Is that correct at that time?
That is correct. Yes.
Right. So to build them a dynamic worship space in which they could be leaders and such.
Sure. You know, you can talk to African-American Catholics today... Mm-hmm. And they can tell you stories. In fact, I was talking to a woman who is in her, I think she's in her 80s now, just last week. And she was accounting of the story of how she left the church. She was a member of St. Dorothy's and some homily that the pastor gave where she was just completely offended with the racism expressed in the parish. And so she then, her point of the story, she was explaining to me why her children didn't go to Catholic schools because this... was the time when her children were born, and she ended up putting them in a public school. Her preference would have been to have them in a Catholic school. But so it's striking that it's not uncommon to talk to people today, and they will still tell you about the horrific things that were said and done to them if they tried to come and pray.
And so we
get relegated into places that are exclusively or primarily African-American. That's a very joyous experience in most cases today, but the history of it was that wasn't necessarily the choice. It wasn't
right.
that African-Americans were looking to be amongst our own so that we could use the gifts of our culture and infuse and enculturate the liturgy. It actually was a reactive, necessary movement because people simply were not welcome. And that's, I heard the first parish I was pastor at was St. Ambrose, and I arrived here, and there were lots of people who wanted to tell me the story of how long it took them to become a member at St. Ambrose. So this is, it's history, but it's not ancient history.
Oh,
it's reflective of, it's reflective of how we haven't come as far as one might have thought when you date Father Tolton and yet realize you still meet people today who can tell and kind of match his story, at least in terms of them attempting to practice their faith.
Well, 100 years later, the Civil Rights Movement, right?
After
his, exactly. So we're going to take a quick break here and then continue our conversation. So we'll be back in a few minutes.
Okay.
On a mission of love, I send you out. On a mission of love, I send you out. On a mission of love, and know that I am with you always until the end of the world.
We invite you to watch Catholic Chicago this weekend, featuring a conversation with Cardinal Blaise Cubich and video highlights from across the Archdiocese. Here's host Todd Williamson.
We'll take you to Federal Plaza, where thousands gathered on a Sunday afternoon for the March for Life Chicago. Immigrants from more than 40 nations celebrate the National Migration Week Mass at Holy Name Cathedral. We'll hear what Cardinal Blaise Cubich said in his homily. And we'll talk with the person who heads up our annual Catholic appeal about the joys of stewardship and the many who benefit from that appeal.
Watch Catholic Chicago Friday at 7 p.m. on Chicago Loop Cable, Channel 25, and Sunday afternoon at 3 on the Comcast Network, Channel 100.
Pope Francis invites each of us to build a culture of encounter by showing solidarity with the most vulnerable of our brothers and sisters. CRS Rice Bowl, a program of Catholic Relief Services, offers us an opportunity to live out the Lenten practices of prayer, fasting, and almsgiving while lifting up our brothers and sisters overseas. Visit chicagopeaceandjustice.org/ricebowl to find Lenten prayers and devotions, reflections for faith-sharing groups, lesson plans and activities, recipes for simple Lenten meals, and even an app with helpful resources that you can download to your mobile device. Visit chicagopeaceandjustice.org/ricebowl for more.
I send you out on a mission of love. I send you out on a mission of love. I send you out on a mission of love. And know that I am with you always until the end of the world.
Welcome back to A Mission of Love. We're talking today with Father David Jones, the pastor of St. Benedict the African and the Black Catholic Initiative. He's the director of that. We're talking about Father Augustus Tolton, whose cause for canonization and just the history of Black Catholics in this archdiocese and this country, actually. So I know that a couple years ago, they started a pilgrimage for Augustus Tolton. So that pilgrimage, I think, is taking place this year, March 31st and April 1st, down to his birthplace.
Yes.
Yeah, so that's kind of interesting because that is in Brush Creek, Missouri, his birthplace, and then in Quincy, Illinois, where his childhood home and where his grave is.
Yes.
Right. So do you have any idea? I know Bishop Perry is the expert. Do you have any idea where the canonization process is right now?
I don't know. And this is where one has to be an expert on the process.
How much longer?
I know that there there's never a timeline to it. There are stories of many people whose causes move along and then come stalled. So what I know and what I understand, I should say, I don't know, But what I understand is that Father Tolton's cause is still moving along. What I understand is that it is now in the hands of the Roman postulator, and that what has to happen on that end is the development of the document that is called the Postitio that is prepared for the Holy Father. So that's significant movement that has to continue. The here, in this way, just a little more than maybe 2 months ago, the body of Father Tolton was exhumed, and so that again is a significant sign of how the cause is moving along. Because when you get to that step, then you're looking for the you're looking for signs that the science can help us understand more about the life. It's a very thorough and incredibly thorough process of investigating the life of a person. So those are significant things, two things that I can, the development of the Postitio and the exhumation of the body. We just crossed those bridges and hoping that the process continues along and does not run into any roadblocks, and that the evidence is clear enough that the Holy Father will be able to declare Chicago a saint. And it's also, Cardinal George was very good in introducing the cause as a cause of Chicago. And we work, I'm a member of the Tolton Guild, and we work to help people understand that this is not a moment of Black history. This really is a moment of Chicago Catholic history.
Absolutely.
And so it's as with all saints, we're not, they're no less Catholic because of their ethnic identity. In fact, they draw us into that unity where we're not divided by ethnic groups. So this is a very powerful moment, in my opinion, for the Church of Chicago and all the Catholics of the Archdiocese, as well as the country.
So I would just, our listeners, if you want to check out the Black Catholic Initiative, it's blackcatholicchicago.org. And when you go to blackcatholicchicago.org, and when you go there, at the very top, you can read the February issue of The Drum. And in that publication is a letter from Bishop Perry about the exhumation. It's fascinating, the science.
Pretty graphic, isn't it?
It is very graphic. And it's fascinating, the science behind it, that all the people that are there and how seriously our church takes these matters, that the forensic experts and that were able to identify that these were the bones of a Black man that who was African-American, who was in his early 40s. And it's fascinating, actually.
Yeah, it really is. Yeah. And that also helps people to understand the cost. Many people that I speak to balk at the expense of this process. But all of these experts are experts,
of course,
which means they're not cheap.
Right.
So the cause is constantly in fundraising mode, and so there's the opportunity on that website as well as the Tolton website, if people would like to contribute to help along. That's not a Black Catholic Initiative program, but we certainly celebrate and support all the work of the Archdiocese, and that is one piece that is prevalent right now.
So that website, if you're interested, is ToltonCanonization.org. ToltonCanonization.org, and that is a website dedicated to the cause for canonization, and it has all the information, the timeline, the archives, all the different steps, his biography and prayer, and also a place to donate if you want to participate. It also has information on there about your last year's essay winner and this year's essay contest, which is wonderful. We're going to close up our conversation here, but just to quickly, I wanted to ask you about the National Black Catholic Congress. That happens approximately, what, every 5 years or so? Is that
it right? Is scheduled every, it convenes every 5 years.
So that makes it a pretty big deal. So that means people from all over the United States are coming to Orlando in July, right?
That's correct.
They chose a very cool time to go to Orlando, Florida. couldn't have been February.
much like the Black Catholic Initiative, the Congress tries to show the largesse of the church. And it's probably not to your listeners, but it's important for people to remember and to know, for those who don't know, that there's not a monolith for African Americans. So the Congress really brings together people who identify themselves as African American, and in that group, you then begin to see some of the diversity of the people who are from the Caribbean and the people who are from various countries.
Oh, wow, that's
on the continent of Africa, and a person may be Black and Catholic in Philadelphia and would be very different from a person who also happens to be Black and Catholic in New Orleans and in Chicago and so on.
Right.
And so it's a national gathering, and it's important for not only the African American community, but the Catholic community to always look at what when we sign up and sign our name on this roll and accept the gifts of the church, that we really are a Catholic with a lowercase c. It really is a universal experience that gets experienced in various ways, and that's important work. It continues to be important work as we can so easily find ourselves in divisive situations. Everyone understands themselves distinctly and differently, but these efforts, the Congress, this is Congress 12, I believe, that mm-hmm. Congress dates back to 1889, but it's always an effort to show that we are not small when we're Catholic, that we really are universal. So it's an exciting time. We have a number of people from Chicago who will be participating. Our leader is Father Michael Trail, who's a newly ordained African-American priest. So this is a special year for us in Chicago that we participate in Congress 12.
Well, thank you so much for your time today, Father David. We really appreciate it.
You're welcome.
And we'll check in again soon.
Okay.
Take care.
Bye now.
Bye-bye.
Until the end of the world.
Ever think of donating your car? You can donate a car that you no longer need to Catholic Charities. The donation will help needy people throughout Cook and Lake Counties. Donating your car is easy. Call us at 877-786-GIVE from anywhere in the country. That's 877-786-4483. Pickup is free. We do the paperwork and you get a tax deduction. Catholic Charities accepts cars, trucks, vans, motorcycles, or boats in almost any condition. No need to pay hefty repair bills. Avoid the hassle of selling. Calls taken 7 days a week at 877-786-GIVE. That's 877-786-4483. Or go online to CatholicCharities.net.
The word made clear is exactly what its name implies. It's an easy-to-understand explanation of the Word of God, the Gospel. Hello, I'm Father James McElhone, Director of Biblical Formation for the Archdiocese of Chicago. I'd like to invite you to take our free online Bible study program by going to thewordmadeclear.org. Our website offers an audio-based guide to the Gospels of Mark, Matthew, Luke, and John. Listen to my lectures and follow along with the handouts provided. There are even discussion guides. You can also explore the biblical roots of the Mass. And there are links to a wide variety of biblical sources that will benefit both teachers and students of the Sacred Scriptures. Just go to wordmadeclear.org to experience our free online Bible study program. Again, it's free at wordmadeclear.org. It's the Word of God. Enjoy.
The Cemetery Ministry is a core ministry of our Catholic faith tied to the corporal works of mercy. It's comforting to know that our Catholic cemeteries are caring for the remains of our loved ones awaiting the resurrection. There are 44 Archdiocese of Chicago Catholic cemeteries willing to help you in your time of loss. Call 708-449-6100 or visit CatholicCemeterieschicago.org. Catholic Cemeteries, serving the Catholic community since 1837.
You're listening to Relevant Radio, 950 AM, 930 AM, and 1270 AM. Talk radio for Catholic life. Monday through Friday from 9 to 10 a.m. the Archdiocese of Chicago presents programming about the people, the issues, and the faith that touch our lives. Thanks for staying with us here on Relevant Radio 950 AM and 930 AM. Now again, the Catholic Community of Faith.
I send you out on a mission of love. I send you out on a mission of love. I send you out on a mission of love. And know that I am with you always until the end of the world.
Welcome back to Mission of Love. I'm Beth White, the Director for Evangelization and Missionary Discipleship here in the Archdiocese of Chicago. Today we're talking about the Black Catholic community here in the Archdiocese of Chicago. As you know, we just spoke with Father David Jones from the Black Catholic Initiative. Now I have with me, we have Kimberly Lymore. She's the director for the Augustus Tolton Pastoral Ministry Program at Catholic Theological Union. And Kimberly is also a pastoral associate at St. Sabina. Welcome, Kimberly.
Thank you, Beth. It's good to be here.
Thank you so much for being with us. So we just spoke with Father David, and we were talking about Father Tolton and his significance in the history of the Catholic Community Church, not just the Black Catholic community, but the entire community of the Archdiocese of Chicago, a little bit about his cause for canonization. Could you tell me about this program, this pastoral ministry program that's named after him?
Okay, Beth, this program was started in 1990 by Sister Jamie Phelps. She discovered as she was working at CTU, she was a professor, that there weren't a lot of men or women, lay people of color, that really could afford an advanced degree program. And, you know, one thing with the working hours, you know, we have to work and then go to school.
Yes.
And so she came up with a way to fund, try to reach out for funding for this program. And she partnered, asked Catholic Theological Union, and they immediately said yes, and they jumped on board, and they went to the Archdiocese of Chicago, who felt it was a good idea to do that also. And so they began to... they called it the Augustus Tolton Pastoral Ministry Program. Now, Sister Jamie is a historian, so she probably, you know, knew about Father Tolton and the significance of him in here in Chicago. So that's probably how she decided to name this program after him.
When did the program begin?
In 1990. So it's been around for 27 years.
So just for our listeners to note that the cause for canonization with Cardinal George did not happen until 2010.
Yes.
And so the program was named after him in 1990, so 20 years before its time.
Right, exactly. So, yes, she was very progressive. And the CTU was very progressive in that idea, too.
Right. So you talked a little bit about forming people of color, lay folks, to serve in the church. Can you tell me a little bit about the program beyond just the theology side of it, the education side of it?
Well, not only do we do the education piece, but we also do mentoring and spiritual formation. Just like the lay ecclesial ministers that go through the formation in Mundelein, we go through a formation also. And it's not only just those components, but it's also being able to serve in the Black Catholic community for 3 years after you graduate.
Right.
So that's kind of some of the requirements, along with, you know, the fundraising. They're responsible for raising funds for the program also.
And how many, do you have any idea how many graduates you've had from the mm-hmm. program in the last 27 years?
Sure. To date, we have 28 graduates, actually.
Oh, that's wonderful.
You know, every few years, you know, we have a few people. This year, we're actually having two graduate, so we'll be up to 30.
Nice.
But it has been, you know, progressing along. It usually takes about 5 years when you go in part-time for MDiv, maybe a little less for MAPS, the Master of Arts and Pastoral Studies program. So, you know, depending on how long, I mean, we've had some scholars take even longer, depending on we've had some with health challenges. And so, you know, sometimes it might take a little longer for someone to get through the program. But, you know, they pace themselves and get through because, again, like I say, we're working and then trying to go to school, and you have to have at least maintain a B+ grade point average. So that could be a little difficult sometimes.
Yeah, that is tough.
You know, and if you're active in ministry in your church, so you're juggling all of these different things just to try to be an effective leader as when they graduate.
We are going to take a break here, Kimberly, and then we'll be back with our conversation.
Okay.
On a mission of love, I send you out. On a mission of love, I send you out. On a mission of love, and know that I am with you always, until the end of the world.
Archdiocese of Chicago Domestic Violence Outreach. The benefit will take place on Friday, March 31st at 6:30 p.m. at the Diplomat West Banquet Hall in Elmhurst. To purchase tickets or make a donation, please visit domesticviolenceoutreach.org or call 312-371-7752. That's domesticviolenceoutreach.org or call 312-371-7752.
Introducing Chicago Catholic. The Catholic New World is celebrating its 125th anniversary with a new name and a new look. Either in print or online, Chicago Catholic has informative and stimulating content, including news from the Archdiocese, beautiful photographs, and a thoughtful column by our publisher, Cardinal Blaise Cupich. Editor Joyce DeRiga tells us about our current edition of Chicago Catholic.
Cardinal Blaise Cupich and other local Catholic leaders react to the president's travel ban on some refugees. We profile a refugee family living in Rogers Park that fled religious persecution in Pakistan. And Father Jim McDermott reflects on Oscar-nominated movies that have empathy as their common denominator.
Subscribe now. Go to ChicagoCatholic.com or call 312-534-7777. Like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter. Chicago Catholic, a fresh approach to Catholic news.
Welcome back to A Mission of Love. I'm Beth White, the Director for Evangelization and Missionary Discipleship. Today I have with me Kimberly Lymore. We are talking, she's the Director for the Augustus Tolton Pastoral Ministry Program at Catholic Theological Union. We were just talking a little bit about the program and its purpose. And you said that you will have, as of graduation this year, 30 graduates. So what kinds of things are they doing in our community for evangelization? What kinds of activities are these ministers undertaking?
It varies depending on what their churches is doing. Mm-hmm. But a lot of times they've been getting a little more involved in the social justice arena.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some have been, were active with the Black Lives Matter. Some have been just active in just doing protests and marches that kind of go on depending on who groups. Some folks come over here and join us at St. Sabina when we go out and march against violence. So, it varies. But as far as evangelization, too, you know, we're always trying to reach out to people. Some might be youth ministers or do youth retreats. And so that way they can try to engage the youth. You know, because a lot of our, especially our Black Catholic parishes, are aging, as they say, getting grayer. And, you know, the youth sometimes feel that church is a little irrelevant.
Mm.
So, you know, just trying to keep them engaged and pull them in. So we depend on our ministers or our scholars, you know, some of them being youth ministers or, you know, retreat coordinators or working in campus ministry. So that way they have an in, so to speak, with the youth and the young people.
I'll tell you that, Kim, one of the most significant things I thought for evangelization was on New Year's Eve.
Mm-hmm.
It was New Year's Eve, right? When
right.
the community, your Catholic community there with Father Flager, coordinated the crosses, the march with the crosses. I just thought that was an incredible symbol. Most of those people that were holding those crosses were not Catholic.
Right.
But they were carrying crosses, and they were walking down the street in a really sort of profound presence, in somewhat silence or just kind of singing hymns together. It was pretty beautiful. Were you there, a part of that?
Yes, I was. It was, you know, we do it, I think this is about the third year we've done this.
Oh, really? I didn't
but
know
no,
that.
No, right. The protest. Now, this is the first year, though, we've had the crosses.
I mean, was
this man that made these crosses in Aurora, he partnered with us. And, you know, each weekend you might hear, oh, 8 shot, 10 shot, or, you know, 8 killed, or whatever that number may be. But when you see the number of folks or young people killed during the whole 2016, numbering close to 800, you see 800 crosses at one time walking down North Michigan, then that's a powerful visual. I mean, it kind of hits home like, wow, you know, sometimes when you hear lower numbers, it just is, you know, even though it's accumulating, you don't see the real impact of it. But when you see the total 800 crosses going down North Michigan, like you said, it was people from all walks of life everywhere. The people had just joined us. Sometimes when we didn't have enough people, somebody that was walking by said, "Let me carry a cross."
Oh, wow.
So it was a very unifying moment when we realized that it's not a black or brown or south side or west side problem, but it's our problem here in Chicago.
Well, it's a human problem that I'm always struck when there's a large group of people who are, you know, are killed in a airplane crash or something else, and then you always see their pictures all together in Time magazine or something, and it reminded me of that because many of the crosses did have pictures on them.
Right,
and
exactly.
It was. I just saw that as a real evangelization because it really is bringing Christ to the streets and reminding people of the suffering of all those who. It wasn't just the people who passed; it's all those who were left behind to carry that cross, literally, figuratively to carry the cross of the death of their loved one.
And especially, you know, the parents of the children that were killed. It was an emotional moment for them too, and just, you know. I think it was kind of bittersweet maybe for them. You know, it was emotional from the fact that they miss them and they're still trying to process it.
Right.
But then the bittersweet part about it is that they could see people, that they were not alone.
Right,
that
exactly.
There are people here that is willing to support them and march with them and work with them to end this gun violence.
And that's being Christ to the other.
Right.
And that's what we're talking about in evangelization is just being present to the other and helping people on their journey.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that one of the reasons I wanted to speak with you folks today, you and Father David, about the Black Catholic Initiative is we have a lot of negative press, as it were, in our Black Catholic communities, and I wanted to really lift up, or just our Black communities, lift up what our Black Catholic community is doing here in Chicago. So tell me a little bit about some of the good news that's going on out there, that some really wonderful things. I think you have a speaker who's coming for the Augustus Tolton Week. Is that right?
Right, exactly. We are having Bishop Edward Braxton. He used to be here in Chicago a while ago. He was over Calvert House at University of Chicago. But he wrote a pastoral letter on Black Lives Matter and the racial divide that is still occurring in the Catholic Church and the church in general.
Right.
So that's going to be a very interesting conversation for him. You know, just to kind of, you know, we try to bring, and that's what the Tolton Lectures do too, bring awareness to certain things, especially, you know, we're the CTU is forming seminarians, and those are going to be our future priests. And just to bring it, sometimes when people are unaware of issues or just haven't really heard all the specifics of an issue, then they tend to make judgments, be it positive or negative, sometimes more negative. And so, just to be able to hear some truths about Black Lives Matter, what that means for the Catholic Church, what that means for us as Christians,
right.
Is going to be very interesting. So that's going to happen on Monday, February 27th at 4 o'clock at CTU.
Kimberly, we're going to take a quick break here, and then we will come back and continue this conversation.
Okay.
I send you out on a mission of love. I send you out on a mission of love. I send you out on a mission of love. And know that I am with you always until the end of the world.
Your gift to the annual Catholic Appeal helps support our Catholic schools. Your gift supports religious education, ministerial formation, and initiatives for life, peace, and justice. And your gift supports Catholic Relief Services as it offers a lifeline to people around the world whose lives are devastated by natural disasters, illnesses, and war. Cardinal Blaise Supich comments on the annual Catholic Appeal.
It's a way to bring Christ into the world, to make sure that people who so often go through life without actually feeling that someone cares about them, that we see that as part of the mission of the Church. The annual Catholic Appeal allows people to participate in the work of Christ, not just the work of their parish or the work of the Archdiocese. We're talking about the work of Christ.
Please visit annualcatholicappeal.com for more information. Thank you for your gift in the service of Christ.
We invite you to watch Catholic Chicago this weekend, featuring a conversation with Cardinal Blaise Supich and video highlights from across the Archdiocese. Here's host Todd Williamson.
We'll take you to Federal Plaza, where thousands gathered on a Sunday afternoon for the March for Life Chicago. Immigrants from more than 40 nations celebrate the National Migration Week Mass at Holy Name Cathedral. We'll hear what Cardinal Blaise Supich said in his homily. And we'll talk with the person who heads up our annual Catholic Appeal about the joys of stewardship and the many who benefit from that appeal.
Watch Catholic Chicago Friday at 7 p.m. on Chicago Loop Cable, Channel 25, and Sunday afternoon at 3 on the Comcast Network, Channel 100.
I send you out on a mission of love. I send you out on a mission of love. I send you out on a mission of love. And know that I am with you always until the end of the world.
Welcome back to A Mission of Love. I'm Beth White, the Director for Evangelization and Missionary Discipleship. I'm speaking with Kimberly Lymore, who is the director for the Augustus Tolton Pastoral Ministry Program at CTU. So, Kimberly, we were just talking about Tolton Week, which is coming up the week of February 27th through March 2nd. Most Reverend Edward Braxton is going to be giving a talk on the Catholic Church and the Black Lives Matter movement.
That's correct.
Yeah, 4 p.m. And so if you all want to make reservations or want to learn more, the website is ctu.edu, and then you can just /Tolton-week, or you can just go on to the ctu.edu and look up Tolton under Programs and Centers, mm-hmm. and you'll find more information about that. So I know that Black Lives Matter in the press and all of that is somewhat controversial. It has its opponents and proponents, if that's a word. What is the angle that in his letter that Bishop Braxton talked about for the perspective of the Catholic community?
The thing that I think he focuses on is that, you know, we as the Catholic Church, yes, we've always had these issues, especially with racism in the Catholic Church. But now is the time to be unified and to come together.
Absolutely.
And to, you know, move the church to another level. I mean, yes, sometimes there's a harm, or I don't know if harm is a good word, but they want to deny that there's still racism. You know, we thought that, you know, we had a black president, and you know, racism is dead. You know, mm-hmm. but it is not. And as we have seen with the new administration that has taken over the White House, that it has even been this is even a more pressing issue with the people that are surrounding the new president, who have a history of oppression with African Americans, and either the voting rights and the affirmative action and all of that, that this issue is still prevalent in 2017, that the church needs to address it. You know, back in the day, the bishops wrote, I think it was see how they love one another, or a pastoral letter on racism, or what we have seen and heard, I think, or one of those. And after that, you know, nothing happened. Nobody, I mean, none of the black bishops have written really too much on the issue of racism in the Catholic Church. Brian Massengill, who used to be at Marquette University in Milwaukee, and now is at Fordham. He wrote a book on the racial justice in the Catholic Church, and so, you know, it's still issues that we still need to be dealing with. But because we are Christians, we are created by God, that there's a way that we can come together even in this. And you know, I think he wrote it as a way of really getting the wider Catholic Church to really understand that, when we talk about, the social justice within the Catholic Church and the call for human dignity, this is something that we need to, you know, to be aware of and embrace, that we do matter here in the Catholic Church. We bring gifts in the Catholic Church.
Absolutely.
And
absolutely.
So it's important that we all stay engaged in conversation.
Well, I just admire the Augustus Tolton program, because you guys are forming ministers, lay ministers for our church, and bringing Christ into our world and into our communities, that some of which, not all, but some of which are hurting here in Chicago, mm-hmm. A few neighborhoods, and are struggling, and that you guys are, on the right there in the midst of all of it. And I'm admire that you guys are doing that. And so if people want to participate, do they need to RSVP or just show up for
this?
They
could just show up for the lecture. Okay. We're more than happy to welcome them. There is free parking in the garage. But also that week, if I could just go do another plug, we are doing an open house on March the 2nd on Thursday evening for those African American that might be interested in pursuing a master's of arts, a MAPS degree or MDiv degree at CTU. And just to kind of talk about the Tolton program and
right.
what it is, and the deadline for application is March 6th, so it's coming up.
Yeah.
But, you know, because a lot of people aren't aware, and right now I have 5 scholars, and 2 are getting ready to graduate, so that's going to take me down to 3. So we need some more people, especially with, you know, the groupings that are going on in the Archdiocese here in Chicago, that, you know, we are, you know, trying to form ministers. You know, when I took my first class, my theology class with Steve Bevins, I was kind of had a dazed look on my face, probably.
So Kim, I'm mm-hmm. sorry. We're going to have
okay,
to. It looks
okay.
like our show is wrapping up now. So
okay.
I really appreciate it. And if anybody wants to learn more, go to ctu.edu and check out, get in touch with Kim directly and get involved with the program. Thank you, Kim.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you, Beth.
On a mission of love, I send you out. On a mission of love, I send you out. On a mission of love, and know that I am with you always, until the end of the world.
Join us every Monday through Friday at this time for the Catholic Community of Faith. You can stream our programs live or download past programs by going to our website, archchicago.org, and clicking on Radio TV.
summertime.